Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today on the podcast, we're going to discuss the Radium Girls.
We're going to enlighten you with some Radium Girls.
Some radium. And we're not talking about Madame Curie here, Brandy. She was also a Radium Girl, but
she was. Yeah. Timmy, that's totally lost. Madame Curie, it's a long story, but she invented a lot of stuff, Devil.
Oh, good. Okay, sure. Thank God for that illumination.
She invented radium.
I love a good curry. Get some nice naan bread with it. Good stuff.
Naan is not even bread. It's bullshit.
It makes you poop a lot.
What? Now, see, that's just so racist, Devil.
Why
are you being that way? We got some Pakistani listeners that you just offended. There's nothing wrong with naan. It's bread. It's flatbread. You like flatbread, don't you? But you don't like naan. What's that say about you?
I don't like flatbread either, fucker. So what? It's because it's not fucking bread.
Well there's...
How would you classify it?
There goes our ranking on the Pakistani
fucking starts. Goddamn. We ain't going to have a Syrian listener from
left
now. We're gonna have to work hard to get our Syrian listeners back after that, Devil.
And we took, okay, it took us so long,
mm-hmm,
break through that market, Brandy.
Well, I mean, because they have all this time to sit and watch poor idiots from the States talk about shit. They got nothing else happening. That's what they, I mean, you know, so whatever.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people in India, Devil.
Yes.
We don't want to be just tossing them aside. There's probably more people in India than Texas, I would guess.
I think that that's probably accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
All right. So we're going to talk about the Radium Girls, these young ladies who, unfortunately,
at least 1,000 people in India
had some negative effects of their painting of watch faces, Brandy. slight negative effects. I mean, you know, you complain all the time, Brandy, because you don't get a 15-minute break every half hour. These poor young ladies, they just started dropping over dead. And it's like you don't even care. It's like you don't even care.
Huh. Okay. I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, I mean,
now think about this, Devil. And we're going to go into this. But your biggest problem, because we've heard it over and over and over and over and over again, as a poor motherfucker with a $20 bill trying to get a box of a pack of Oreos and going to the wrong counter with them, where it's card only. I get it. It can be frustrating, but are you glowing in the dark with shit falling off of you when you leave there?
Sometimes
you make sure it kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it?
Okay. Listen.
You have to explain perspective, Colonel.
Yeah, perspective is kind of like the way you look at things, Devil. I'm sorry, I used a...
So my perspective is that I've wasted 9 years of my life dealing with you two motherfuckers. And now
I think you're minimizing it, Brandy. I think you wasted 12 years of your life with us.
Well, that, it has been
9 years on the podcast, but
yes, yeah. I have 12 years of my life.
You know,
and
what
have I gotten out of it?
We haven't got even a goddamn thank you from you. Look where your life is right now, and you can't even thank us. Look at the arc from where we found you, because you know we found it.
It's
where
an arc.
You know,
it's an arc, Randy.
It is an arc. And you know where she was when we found it, Timmy.
Was I floating down a river in my little basket?
You were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar when we met you. Yeah, that much is true.
Yeah, and I knew I'd be in a much better place either with or without you.
We found Chuck drunk, unemployed in Greenland. That's where we got him from.
Bought him for a sheep and half a cow.
Well,
now it depends on which half of the cow.
I mean, we're going to have a little Brandy time tonight, but we're going to try to limit Brandy time tonight.
If we could.
Because we get a lot of letters, you know. And I mean, you know, a lot of people don't like Taylor Swift on the football, watching NFL, watching the football game. A lot of people don't like Brandy time.
I know.
You know what's fascinating about that is, like, it's Taylor Swift's fault that the fucking cameramen keep panning over to her.
This is true. This
she
is
doesn't have.
True.
You know what? Here's what Taylor Swift's problem is. She decided to date one of the most hated men in football. It's not my fault everybody hates Travis Kelce. He's a douchebag. I'll say it. Yeah. I don't care about losing the Kansas City demographic. I don't want the goddamn Kansas City demographic. If you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, just take your ass on out of here.
Travis Kelce's a douchebag. You've already got this feud with Joe Rogan.
But he's the douchebag going to the Super Bowl.
So in 5 minutes, we've lost India, Pakistan, and now Missouri. Jesus Christ, you guys.
Or at least the western part of Missouri. St. Louis probably still loves us, I would imagine.
In his podcast.
All right.
So yeah, I wouldn't even go on his podcast.
You know, Randy, I see your screen.
Travis Kelce and his brother have a much better podcast than we do. It has some more people than we do. So I wouldn't rag too hard on Travis Kelce.
We don't need to stoop to having guests.
You know what? Yeah. That's the sign of a dying podcast. When you got to bring on celebrities.
When you got to bring somebody else in.
It's just like I Love Lucy. When they brought John Wayne, it was over.
Right. It was over. Yeah. They jumped the shark, Timmy.
So wait a minute. So you're old enough to remember when I Love Lucy brought on John Wayne? Is that what you're telling me? Because I don't. Huh?
I'm afraid I
remember. I'm not.
Right down the toilet. After
that's right.
Well, Fonzie literally jumped the shark.
What about those shows that, like, you know, bring on relatives, right? Like someone's nephew.
The nepotism.
Seriously, the nepotism. Oh, my God.
Nepotism is where you hire somebody that somebody else is related to, Chuck.
I know what nepotism is.
Okay. Well, I mean, of course, we never, you know, it wouldn't be like, we wouldn't stoop that low.
Obviously.
No. We couldn't do that. We're a much more respectable podcast.
Yeah,
we are. You know, I'm going to tell you guys this because you'll appreciate it. Y'all will. Well, I know Devil and Timmy will. I Friday I went to get my blood checked. Everything came out fine, except I had one little outlier on my liver, Timmy. Mm-hmm. On my liver, and I saw a doctor Monday, and he said, you know, there's 7 different liver tests on there, and if they're all fine and you got one outlier, it's, you know, one robin don't make a spring, which I don't really get, but I guess he was saying it was okay. But, you know.
Yeah, that is a vital organ, though, Colonel.
Ever since then, my goddamn liver's hurt, Timmy.
Of course it is.
Quiver in your liver there, Chuck?
Wait a minute. Yeah. What about that time we convinced you had some kind of disease because you kept getting a headache or your arm hurt? Tim, what was that?
Yeah,
we convinced him he was dying.
Yeah.
You don't know.
It doesn't take a lot of convincing, though.
It does. I know. But, and it was
look at little picture there, Chuck.
It was great entertainment.
He's on his phone with his doctor trying to get an appointment.
What was that? Yeah, that was wrong of you, too. What was
I know.
You
we kept that up for like a week. I don't remember what it was. You had like a bump or you had something going on. I don't know. But yeah, that went on for like a week. It was amazing.
Well, he was just telling me and Tim before we started recording that the I guess the security guard at the office told him he had cancer on his ear.
Yeah, cancer today.
Well, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Your boss would be Dick.
Son of a bitch. I've already sung that song.
Chuck Dick Cancer.
Oh God. I wonder though if it was like a non-malignant tumor that, you know, say a couple centimeters, wouldn't that, and I'm just asking you, Devil, wouldn't that bring the ladies a little added pleasure? Like a speed bump. I mean, they got the ribbed condoms, right? So
remember the French ticklers?
The French tickler? Yeah. I'd have the French tickler.
A feather on top of it.
Yeah, exactly. I put a stud through it.
Google French ticklers but not on your work computer.
No, or any computer that you want to be on again. Jesus fucking Christ.
Let me introduce our band. Before I do, let me remind everyone that we are a adult comedy podcast. We sometimes use adult language. And should that offend you, Brandy, what should they do?
Fuck off.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me introduce a lady who is known throughout her kingdom as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all? And Thad has put up pictures of French ticklers. Perfect. How would you describe
French ticklers? Yeah. You see, that you're supposed to spank people with those. That wouldn't even leave a mark to me.
And look, these are on Amazon.
Then can you're not doing that? It right.
You know, hey, I've learned
the next day, Brandy.
There's a way to hide your purchases, your Amazon purchases.
Oh, you can, that's a good thing.
Yeah, because Logan uses mine, and I don't buy things that I don't want people, you know, that aren't made public, but I do have a wee bit of a problem with pens, ink pens. So I will, you know, buy a lot, but so I
you'll buy ink pens. You don't want anyone to know about it.
But if you do buy one of these, what it looks like a Cat O' Nine Tails, you could go to your purchases and archive it.
I think Michelle Johns has some of those, but purchases some of those Cat O' Nine Tails.
I don't think Michelle Johns will buy Cat O' Nine Tails off Amazon because have you seen what she knits? She would just act like the leather was yarn and she would make it herself, Timmy.
She's
quite crafty.
She is very talented.
Yes.
We'll have to get her to make some for
that's a lot of devil time we had there.
Yeah, I didn't know we were even in devil time.
I'm gonna give you two more minutes. So
wait, did you even introduce me?
Yeah.
Or did we just start talking? Blah, 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 blah,
blah, Queen Brandy.
We said Queen Brandy, bunch of peasants, more food, let them eat cake, all that shit. Yeah.
I'm tired, Timmy. I'm tired, Brandy.
What makes you weary, Brandy?
When people can't read the motherfucking signs on the motherfucking self-scan
and then sit there
and look at me and go, oh my God, I didn't even see that. When people move the sign that says, don't put cash in here, they move it and try and shove cash in there. Like a fucking limp dick, they try and throw it in there.
I get the sense that you're a broken record here lately. I mean, all we hear about is how unhappy you are with your customers. And you know, they're the reason why you're able to afford the life that you got, Brandy.
The life of luxury.
Yeah.
The lifestyle that you have become accustomed to.
First of all, I need you to both settle down about, I don't know what you think happens at Target, but I'm going to need you just to simmer down a little bit. It's stupid. It's stupid. It makes me mad. And you know what else? I've had to put up a thing because adults cannot form a line. So I have to put up stanchions for them to actually be in line and not just all come in once like stadium seating.
But do you put up?
It's little, fucking ridiculous.
They walk through.
Yes, yes. Because they'll all come in like it's stadium seating, and then you got people like ramming into each other. I am not shitting you. Ramming into each other, yelling at each other. Well, why'd you cut up there? You didn't cut there. You need to go back line. They're assholes. And then they
put
the cash in the goddamn.
Remember, Randy, customer service. The word customer is the first word.
It's the first word, yeah. Not service. Devil, might I give you just a statistic to add to give you a little perspective to help you understand humans?
No.
Do you know every year?
Andy, that's a number where people, you know, the
no, but a statistic. Yeah, it's a number to make a point.
Why do you ask every year, Devil? Just gonna fucking flap your mouth anyway, no matter what I say. Just
every year,
fucking say it. Don't say, can I give you a statistic?
Don't
say,
can I tell you
something? Just fucking say it because you don't give a shit what I say.
I'm trying. Take a breath with it. Take a breath. Take a breath. Use your words, Devil. Use your words. Now,
I did.
Every year,
all my words. I'm going to use more
every
words.
Every year, 394 people are killed at railroad crossings. They ignore the fucking sign that a goddamn train is coming, yet you think an index card taped to a machine is going to change human behavior.
I don't understand
do you
why
see
you
the parallel
think
there?
Those two things are different.
Timmy,
not
do you
different.
See it? Thad, do you see it?
They're just stupid
they
people.
Just,
doing stupid
they just
shit.
Ignore the little things that come down and say, stop, you're going to get killed by a train. They go anyway, 400 yep. a year, get killed doing it. And you're surprised that people yep. try to pay with cash in a card only lane.
No.
Why does it keep
First
surprising
all,
you?
If you try and go around the fucking things that come down, then you deserve what you get. Second of all, I'm in process of procuring a taser, so when people start to put fucking cash in the goddamn machine, then I can tase them.
Well, I think
been a
Randy,
dream.
I think
oh, hold on. So
tasers,
same motherfucking thing. I don't feel bad for them
not,
because the machine goes down, and then they have to go over and do a whole other transaction, and they're all pissy about it. And I'm like, motherfucker, three goddamn signs, and you look at me and go, I didn't even see that. What the fuck are you doing? You're up here buying cold medicine. You're telling me you can't look up and see three.
They're not
fucking
feeling good,
signs.
Devil.
Brandy, is there a Walmart
or
in the area?
Oh, it's on the other side of town.
So yeah, I think that's what it is. I think or these are people that typically would go to Walmart, but because there's not one close, they infiltrate the Target.
Oh no, baby. These are Target people. These are Target people that think their shit don't stink and I'm just going to do what the fuck I want. They're fucking idiots. They shouldn't
person.
Be allowed
yeah,
to
sure.
fucking breed.
Devils, I don't want to.
Have you had any training, Brandy, on customer service? Curious.
As a matter of fact, I have had to take training on customer service. It was fucking stupid, too.
It didn't take.
So, Devil, I don't know what to tell you.
I want
to
get out those notes that you took.
Timmy, might nope. I just add a quick
don't
thing here?
Give a shit.
For our female listeners.
You asked permission, but you're going to anyway.
Who like to...
What?
I'm just going to say it. There's quite a number of, quite a contingent of female listeners who ring the Devil's doorbell whilst listening to mine and Timmy's voices. And I'm telling you right now, you're harshing their bliss, Devil. You just ruined
Let me tell
it.
You something.
Yeah, because they're right, to that point
down
when they're going to orgasm, and mm-hmm. then you jump in with your bullshit.
You jump nope. in. You're right.
Nope.
That credit card.
They would rather rip their doorbell.
Yeah, credit card. Somebody's listening to mine and Timmy's silky voices, and they're just getting this close, Devil. This close.
It's like
this
Lou
close.
Rawls,
it's
Brandy.
Like,
you're
yeah.
like
oh
Rawls.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, baby. And then all of a sudden you jump in like
I was brought in to attract the bear contingent. So that's my role.
Well, and that's I
Bears
mean,
for Bears. There used to be a AOL chat room called Bears for Bears, and I never knew what it was because you know
there you go. Do you think it was bears on there? Bears
but you know, there was
they don't have thumbs, Tim.
Can bears type?
They don't have thumbs. Bears cannot type. Jesus.
Which is a shame.
It is kind of. Let's just have Charles time and get into these glowing girls.
I'd like to get into one of these glowing girls.
I bet you would.
A man who...
they wouldn't even feel you at all.
You know, with all the trouble in the world today, Brandy, I mean, we've got trouble in the Middle East.
I don't want to warn people about you for the dumb bastard. Just fucking...
We've got a crisis on our border.
Christ.
We have a crisis at Target.
We have Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I mean, the world is going to hell.
You're just
going to hell.
And
it's going to hell.
People are looking for answers, Brandy.
Well, they need to keep looking.
These are end times. We may be looking at end times, Brandy.
This could be end time shit, though. This could be the apocalypse. I heard three out of four horsemen last night.
The colonel has been called an oasis in the desert.
No, he hasn't. By you. That's the only person I've ever called.
He is a best-selling author.
Nope.
He has increased...
He absolutely has
female
not.
Orgasms.
No.
75% at the very least.
He can't even do that in his own house.
Very I'm going to ask you this.
A man of God. The Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard. Hawk Walters III. Affectionately, Brandy, known as a Southern gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm doing well, Timmy, and I just want to point out one thing. You remember, Timmy, back in the day, everything was, you know, they had Live Aid and everything else for the starving people in Africa. We are the world.
Yeah.
Do you hear about that anymore?
No.
How about you just say thank you, devil? Okay? That's all I'm asking. Just
thank
say.
You for fucking
by the
life.
Way.
Stop a world hunger.
I bought that CD that We Are the World.
Of course you did.
CD.
We are the
world. I don't remember ever getting a thank you card from Africa.
No.
Not a one, Brandy. Not one thank you. You know how many people there are in Africa? I mean, there's a lot. I don't know how many.
There's a lot of people in Africa.
I saw Madagascar, the movie. It was pretty good.
It's amazing.
Pretty much the same thing, Timmy.
It's amazing. I love those movies.
I prefer Minions, though.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
There's a Minions 4 coming out.
I know. Jeez. I saw that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Thursday, Cheap Trick tickets go on sale, Colonel.
Well, you better get a rush because all those 5-year-olds might beat you to it and they'll be sold out.
We'll see Cheap Trick and Heart.
Oh, that'd be a good one, Timmy.
Yeah. I saw a Heart when I was like in the 70s. They were really good back then. Now they're older, of course.
That Nancy Wilson's a good guitarist.
Yeah.
She's
amazing. They both have big moves, Colonel.
She's amazing.
They both have pretty big boobs. And
they do.
Yeah.
Neither one.
Okay, Colonel. We didn't have no. You didn't have nothing. No, Colonel.
Is it no strife?
I'm solving most of the strife. So yeah, there's not a whole lot of strife right now.
Good.
I would like to thank our sponsor,
Black Cat and Me.
Black Cat and Me on Etsy. So if you need any decorations for your home, you know, devil, maybe if you look into it, maybe if you get a wreath or something, it'll cheer you up, devil. Have you tried to scent your oil?
They had one called Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
Ooh, RESPECTTIMMY.
Yeah.
Why did you tell me to get essential oils?
Huh? You should get essential oils, devil. They calm you down. I got some vetiver here.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me also state that, and this is a well-known fact with me and Tim, Chuck vapes in his office, and then when somebody comes in and says something, he tells them it's his essential oils.
You know, devil, you have slandered and libeled. And
there is like a, I mean, there's a, there, every year at our, our former job, Chuck's current job, there is investigations almost every year by HR And every investigation has been done there. It's probably been about 15 now.
Yeah.
Chuck has Smith found ends up on the report.
It does. No matter what it is, my vaping.
They buy the essential oil bullshit. Every
because
time.
It's true. I'm not a person who just willy-nilly violates company policy like that.
You have an air freshener.
I mean, Tad, you open his office door and smoke knocks you down, doesn't it, Brandy? Am I lying?
It's a hookah lounge.
Yeah.
I guess I'm trying to figure out what's the point in HR in a county office.
If we don't know. Be assholes. Like, to be assholes.
Well, we have people who complain a lot about different things. I'm not sure if they complain now that Brandy is gone, but
that's true. They may not. They may not.
But they, no matter what the investigation is,
it could have been a car wreck in front of the building.
Somehow they tie in Chuck and his vaping.
Chuck's
no matter
vaping.
What the investigation is involves.
I actually had HR break into my office.
They'd be just a couple of postal and there'd be a mass shooting and they do an investigation and then they say, oh, also Chuck vapes in his office.
Yeah.
I want to hear about this. They broke into your office, Chuck?
Well, no, I was just sitting at my desk and the HR person just, my door was shut and they just popped into my office, started looking around. And I said, I didn't know who it was. And I was like, hey, you lost. Could I help you? Well, we had a complaint that you were vaping in your office. And
where
I said,
you get that idea?
I said, this is like the 10th one. I said, how about I do this? I will step away from my desk. And you find any vaping paraphernalia in the area outside, inside my desk or on my desk. Find it anywhere but in my coat pocket. And I will confess to this crime immediately. But if you don't, would you stop the what I considered a borderline harassment?
Harassment.
Did they look into your briefcase? Because you got your whole little
His man purse, right? No.
Pot lab in his.
They found no evidence. They said that people must be smelling my vaporizer. And it was
4 hours a day. He sits at his desk and works, cleans his little vaping instruments.
Yeah,
it's
but he doesn't.
You know, even by my friends, these baseless accusations, they hurt, Timmy. They hurt.
Oh my God!
We are also joined, as always, by our producer, Matt Thad. Thad, how are you today?
Good evening. I am. I'm living the dream right now. We're talking about now. See, I work in HR. I think you may know that. One of the instances I'm working on now is a man who went through the line at the cafeteria, tore the tomato off of his sandwich, and threw it at the person who made their sandwich because he said it was a bad piece of tomato. And he said, "I did not do that."
Well, I mean, you know,
and I said, "I've got it on video." So
did he, but is the person, but I mean, that's like an outside, you contract that out, right? The food service.
We do. The person going through the line who threw it though was an employee.
Yeah. No, see, that's the rub.
But if he throws it at an outside.
You're saying because he threw it at a contractor. That's a good point. He threw it at a contractor. Why do I care? Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want his employees to act like assholes. How about that?
Thad, I got a quick hospital story for you, Thad.
I'm on this side.
A hospital cafeteria.
A bad tomato.
Okay.
I mean, they had it coming, clearly.
Yeah.
And tomatoes, you got to use judiciously. And Devil, I'm not even going to clue you in on that, but you got to use tomatoes judiciously. Because this happened to me. My brother was in the hospital. I've been going up there every day at lunchtime. I go through the hospital cafeteria. I get myself a grilled cheese sandwich and I see this, you know, cup with a pop up and a little cherry on top. You know what I'm talking about? The clear cups.
Sure. Yeah.
And I love me some tapioca. I just, you know, I'll admit it. I love me some tapioca. So I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm kind of tired and I'm been a little stressed and I eat my grilled cheese sandwich and I pop the lid off and I don't really like those, you know, fake maraschino cherries. So I pull it off and set it to the side, dig my spoon in and take a big bite of my tapioca. And I jump out of my chair and say, Jesus fucking Christ. And I spit it all over the table because it was not, in fact, tapioca. It was cottage cheese. And I thought that I got a bad batch of tapioca.
Yeah, but you know, when you're
here's the thing,
it's like I love cottage cheese. It's like grabbing a bottle of something in your refrigerator.
Are you okay?
You think it's water, well, but it's milk.
I was right, and the thing is, I love cottage cheese, but my mouth was prepared for tapioca.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God!
And then when I jumped from the table and spit it all out, the nurses were sitting at the table next to me, and they said, "Sir, can we help you? Can we help you?" And you know, I was a little. And then it took me a minute to.
What are you doing, Brandy?
I believe she's crotch-shotting us, Timmy. But
I'm over it.
What's your shirt say? Let me see.
Dark Brandy is done. It's a coat hanger.
I can't read it.
All right.
I don't know.
It's not a surgical instrument. Eat abortion. No.
Wow.
That is fun. So anyway, that is my, what I'm saying is you can't dress up cottage cheese like tapioca. You put cottage cheese in a cardboard container.
When you think you're drinking or tasting something and it's something else.
It's like quite disturbing. It's unsettling to me.
Conscience, Brandy.
And you want Coke and they give you tea instead. It's all harrowing. These are all harrowing experiences we had.
Yes.
You know who else had a harrowing experience? Are these goddamn radium girls that were growing testicles on their chin. Can we fucking talk about this now? Since we're a half hour into this bullshit.
Okay, we got to
get a shower and go to bed.
We got to justly lit up. We can start now, I believe, Timmy.
Jesus.
Okay.
Well, Thad's asleep.
I wanted to show you this.
I don't blame you.
I don't know how well that's going to show up. This was 10 years ago. So as you can see, it's a hanger.
It is.
Okay. And this is the inside of my car. Okay. And on the paper form, it says choose life. And the fact that's on a hanger,
is I thought problem. Was
quite ironic. And
it's pretty gross.
With friends.
Yeah, they did that on purpose. That's pretty disgusting. But, you know, but we're good now. It's fine. It's all fine. It's fine.
Everything's fine. It's good.
Fucking fine. Can we just get on with it?
Yeah, we're trying. Before we do, Colonel, I thought of something today, Colonel, that I'm going to do.
Yes, sir.
Start the podcast?
You know, when we were, you know, when I'm on my deathbed.
Let's not be hasty, Brandy.
When I'm on my deathbed, getting ready to take my last breath, I'm going to tell Leanne and keep us between us.
Okay.
I'm going to tell Leanne.
Well, no one in India will hear it for sure because they've stopped listening.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, oh, wait, I see a light. I see a bright light. Oh, wait, it's a spaceship. Who is that? It's Bigfoot. It's Bigfoot. And she's like going to go spread it all over the world. This is what I saw. What do you think about that, Brandy?
I will take her around the world to spread that message.
Thank you, Brandy.
I'll take her around the world with your money and Dave's. And we will spread that dumbass message.
Thank you. Thank you.
You want to throw some flat earth in there too while we're at it?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Right, I think what you're going to end up saying is, hey, these don't look like virgins to me.
Yeah. When's the last time Timmy saw a virgin? How would he know? Let's get going here.
Let's talk about Radium Girls. 1917, Brandy.
You were three.
Many of the patriotic young girls counted themselves lucky to have landed war work in a large warehouse complex in Orange, New Jersey. Have you been to Orange, New Jersey, Colonel?
I've been there, Timmy. I've been there.
They kicked him out.
pay was fantastic. Roughly three times the average of working a working girl's wage. And the work was light.
Now, hold on. When we say working girl's wage, do we mean women who are working, or do we mean, quote, working girls?
No, just women who are working, like,
in okay. A, okay. Okay. Because that would have been a lot of money.
Factory or something.
Gotcha. Okay.
Anyway, they were making three times what the poor girls in a short race factory was making. And they caught on fire.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Literally, the work was light, as the main job for these young ladies was just to apply glowing paint on the faces of clocks, instrument gauges, and wrist watches for the United States Radium Company.
Might I just throw in for a little,
considered a danger to anyone.
For a little historical perspective, Timmy, you know, the wristwatch came about because of a need from pilots in World War I, Timmy.
Yeah.
And these pilots, these radium watches would be quite handy if they was flying in the dark.
Yeah, I think we talk about that in the next paragraph.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry about that, Timmy.
Once a thin layer of white paint impregnated with the newly discovered element, radium, was layered on the dials, their hands naturally glowed and made them easier to read at night or in a dark trench in France.
See, if I'm in a dark trench, though, do you really want to be lit up?
Well, you want to be able to look at your watch, but you
don't want to glow too much.
You know, I would, you know, those guys that would go over the top.
Mm-hmm.
How would you like to? I wouldn't be that first guy out there, would you, Colonel?
I wouldn't want to be the first guy with my wrist glowing. If I'm going to be the first guy, I want to be dark as night, Timmy. I want some black clothes. Yeah, I don't want no flashlight on my wrist.
You want to be dressed like a ninja.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Without exception.
How do you take the simplest concept and just make it fucking ridiculous? Like, it's a simple concept. I want to wear all dark clothes. Just say, I want to be a ninja. Just say,
I want to be a ninja or a burglar.
On what you need to wear.
There's very little daylight between a ninja and a burglar.
A dissertation is what people that go to college do.
Without exceptions, the radium girls.
I know where to use my credit card and when not to use cash. Ain't nobody ever yelled at me for that.
Gary Springer.
These radium girls were told to paint. The paint was safe to handle. And so virtually no precautions were taken while they handled and even ingested countless doses of radioactive poison, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
Why would I mean, it figures they fuck girls over yet again, but go ahead. We're disposable. Radium,
but it wasn't just the girls in the factories. The rich people used to drink radium water, Brandy.
Well, they were doing it knowingly doing that. These girls were not. These girls were told it was safe. So let's get into that part of the story.
Well, when the people who bought the water thought it was safe too.
Yeah. The people getting that TV electricity from Chernobyl.
Get it willingly. Safe too.
Yeah.
They still ingested it willingly. There is a difference.
Here's a quick little historical tidbit for you.
Marie Curie
and Pierre Curie, they discovered this radium, right?
Yeah.
And do you know how Pierre died? Do you know how Pierre died?
Is that what we're talking about?
Radiation poisoning?
I just want to make sure.
No, Pierre got ran over by a horse carriage in Paris and crushed his skull.
Isidore Duncan got her scarf stuck
caught in a wheel.
On a wheel.
Yeah.
That's what you get. It's a real true story, Brandy.
I don't care.
True story.
I don't care.
Anyway,
true story.
Get back to the story. They didn't know. Of course, they didn't know it was poison at the time. No one did. And as Chuck points out, Pierre and Marie Curie had first identified the element of radium in 1898. It wasn't until 1910 that Marie successfully isolated a sample of it to work with. Now, Marie Curie would later die of radium poisoning, but not until 1934. So this is before she died, right? And at the time, radium was considered, you know, this magical
elixir, Timmy.
That would solve a lot of the world's problems. The uranium-infused paint was a new invention in 1917. Now, right away, when Madame and Marie and Pierre discovered that their discovery, when they first found out that their discovery was dangerous, Marie gave herself several unpleasant burns after improperly handling radium. Now, Pierre once said he couldn't bear the thought of sharing a room with even a kilogram of the stuff because he was afraid that it would blind him or burn off all of his skin.
He knew what you know this what this parable reminds me of, Timmy?
What?
Not a parable. Yeah.
And okay. You know, well, Devil, if you ever went to church, you might understand the thing, the comparison I'm making here, but basically Adam and Eve.
Do you know what a parable
Madame Curie was? He was saying, don't bite the radium. And she was like, oh, it'll be fine. You know, it'll be fine. And he was like, don't bite the radium. And then she did it. And then she got burns on her skin and then died. Then he got his head crushed by a horse.
The Curies. That's the
dumbest 30 seconds of my fucking life.
Well, Jesus, it just goes to show you, Brandy, you handle radium and still get killed by a horse.
I'd rather eat radium than sit here with you motherfuckers carrying on with his bullshit. So let's get to it already.
You know, last episode we were talking about poop color. I wonder if radium would change your poop color, Timmy.
I imagine it's
remember that glows. Poop chuck. Yeah. They didn't have glowing poop on there.
The Curies were working with large quantities of pure radium. The conventional
This was uncut radium, time, Devil. Uncut.
The conventional wisdom. You know what uncut means, Brandy? It's when a guy...
I don't think the two of you know what uncut means.
The Curies, it means you're non-Jewish, basically.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The Curies were working with large quantities of pure radium. The conventional wisdom at the time was that a little bit of the stuff was good for human health.
Yeah.
A little bit of napalm will just perk you right up.
It should be noted that at the time, many people used radium for a number of reasons. Throughout the early 20th century, hundreds of thousands of people drank radium-infused tonic water. So, you know, it's a bit like having your Red Bull, a bottle of radium.
Gives you wings.
Yeah. They brushed their teeth. They brushed their teeth with radium toothpaste, Brandy.
Everybody had the whitest teeth ever. They almost glowed.
But it burns when I pee.
It burns when I smile.
And they wore radium cosmetics to give their skin a bright, cheery glow.
This was before glitter was invented.
Napalm Brad is going to read for us an ad at the time. Promoting the use of radio.
Announcer voice, Dad. Can we manage not to interrupt him?
Lifetime Radium Vitalizer Water Jar, circa 1925-1927. The Lifetime Radium Vitalizer Water Jar was produced by the National Radium Corporation in a probable attempt to replicate the success of the Revigator. Like the latter, it was used to add radon, radium amantian, sounds good, to drinking water. So they were adding radium to drinking water.
What's adamantium? Wasn't that Wolverine's claws shit?
That's what it. That was adamantium.
You have to. That's not like Kroger drinking water, Brandy. You have to. It's in the brand name, drinking water.
I am your father, Brandy.
The jar's original name, Lifetime Radium Vitalizer Water Jar, was possibly inspired by another Denver business, the Vital O Remedies Company, aka Vital O Gland Company, a later incarnation of the latter. The home products company produced the Vita Radium Suppositories.
Oh, oh yeah, that'll help you with your constipation.
Yeah. Ain't nothing.
Oh, yes.
God.
Little radium up the woohoo there.
Then you get the radium poo, and you can't just flush that because that shit stays alive for like 1600 years.
It does.
But it doesn't have to stay alive there. It can stay alive on down here.
You know, you have a little, what, there's a cool guard things, you know, that you get to test your poop.
Cool guard.
Coolio guard.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it in one of those things.
Glow a guard.
Cola guard.
Glow guard. Yeah.
Colon.
Colon glow.
I mean, it will make your colon glow. That's for sure.
I would imagine this was better than fiber, Timmy, for making you go and glow. Well, go and glow. I that's mean, what they call it.
It's like Mirror Max on steroids.
Yeah.
Mixed with the right kind of paint, radium would luminesce after exposure to light.
Would that be a latex or an enamel? You think?
I'm thinking more of a flat.
You have a radium based condoms.
Yeah.
So a watch face painted with
this glowing brandy, you got to stay away from it.
It's no good.
Glowing penis.
Mm-hmm.
Walk away.
Anytime, this is for the ladies listening, because this is uncommon, so I don't really have it in the book. But anytime a man just flops it out and it lights up the room, stay away.
Or if there is some discharge viewable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Walk
and
then
that goes for the ladies. If they drop the drawers and all of a sudden it looks like sunshine down there. Nope. Walk stay away. Walk away. That's the radium vajayjay.
You don't want the radium vajayjay.
Nope.
Danger, Brandy.
You going to tell us this story or you're just going to sit here, devil?
The radioactive penis.
I'm a radioactive. Radioactive. You gonna talk?
If you fucker stop, I'd love
to. On you. You're the narrator.
We're trying to fill in the dead air here, devil.
Yeah.
Mixed with the right kind of paint, radium would luminesce after exposure to light so that a watch face painted with the stuff could soak up energy during the day and stay visible all night.
Luminesce means glow, devil.
It was one of the scientific miracles of a very optimistic age, unlike this age, which is not optimistic. Unfortunately, that bright element had a dark side. Look at you, Timmy. And there's Chuck putting his hood up so he looks like Darth Vader from the dark side. And he's going to say, I am your father. And I'm
your father, devil.
Thank you. So there it is.
She called her shot.
Huh?
You called your shot and it was perfect.
The only stable isotope of radium is radium-226, which has a half-life of 1,600 years. Just like Timmy. For as long as it lasts, any sample of radium will emit alpha particles in all directions. Also like Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, alpha radiation and Timmy is harmless in small doses. Countless natural sources of this radiation can be found in the average kitchen or bathroom. Even nature is full of it, full of it, as the low energy particles have a hard time penetrating even one layer of skin. Outside the body, it's virtually safe. Inside the body, inside the body, it wreaks god-awful, one word, havoc on the body's tissues. The warming glow radium puts out is caused by the element's atoms acting like tiny batteries. Light.
You got any radium vibrators, Devil?
Light photons strike the radium atom, bumping its electrons into a higher orbit.
Should be a shame, Brandy, because
the sun sets and it gets dark, those electrons spontaneously drop into lower orbits, emitting a particle and some
photons.
Photons as they
photons.
Go.
Photons. Fairly radium, simple word. Professor, I don't know why you got hung up on that.
Is that photons? What the fuck?
Photons.
Anywho. When radium is placed next to human cells or in the bloodstream, like when it crosses a mucous membrane, such as the gums or eyes, it turns into a microscopic machine gun that gets lodged in the body's tissues.
That's what is going to your tissues there.
That was Colonel's machine gun.
Wish I had some right now. The radium then fires off particle after particle at very close range.
Point blank range.
Eventually, mutating.
Mutating.
Like the turtles, Brandy.
Mutating and killing the cells around it.
You have just a quick pause to just apologize to Timmy because you have mangled his prose. You have basically walked into a beautiful garden with
Brandy?
Really, pot? Really?
you didn't have to sleep with English, Professor?
The men who worked for USRC wore lead aprons to protect them from this radiation, which is known to have a cumulative effect.
That means it adds up over time, Double.
I don't remember asking you a fucking thing. I'm just telling you.
I know that you don't like to read things.
Given no protection of any kind and even encouraged to lick their brushes to get a fine point for detail work. A practice known in the factory as lip, dip, and paint.
I got a process called lip, dip, and paint.
The reason the company gave for this difference was that the male engineers were handling huge bundles of raw material, while the girls were never exposed to more than a small amount at once. Day after day during the war and for many years after, the radium girls painted military and civilian watches and dials, licking their paintbrushes and handling jars of radium tincture as carelessly as they would handle any paint. This paint naturally got all over the girls, whose clothes and skin would glow when they got home from work. The girls thought this was great fun, reassured by their supervisors that they were perfectly safe. Some girls even took to wearing their best ball gowns to work on Friday so they would glow at the dance that weekend.
And when we say glow, we mean glow.
They actually glowed.
Yeah. They didn't even have to have lights on at the place. No. They just, you know.
They were a walking disco.
Exactly. Girls painted their nails with radium, sprinkled flakes in their hair, and even applied it to their teeth to give their kiss a pop. Wow. Friends and neighbors of these factory girls took to calling these young ladies as ghost girls for their unusual glow. You could always tell which young ladies worked at the factory because when you saw them walking down the street at night, they were fluorescent. For several years, I glow like that sometimes. For several years, working at the radium plant was fun and very well paid, so many of the employees encouraged their sisters, nieces, and sisters-in-law to apply. By 1920...
So, hold on. I just want to say here, while you have heaped blame upon the male species here, it was these women who were bringing other women into it. They were saying, hey, you're my sister. Look at me. I glow. I got this growth on my chin that looks like a set of testicles. My teeth are falling out. Come over here and work with me. It's safe.
I don't think that
who you want to shame now, Devil? Who you want to shame now?
Doctor, you don't even need to take an x-ray.
Excuse me. Dipshit. I don't think they brought them on there while they were growing testicles on their chin. I think it was probably before there. But anyway. So by 1920, several large families were working on USRC's floor, totaling around 300 girls at the peak of the operation.
And when Brandy says testicles on their chin, just Google radium girls and look at the images, because it does look like their jaws had big, long testicles And it was the result. Yeah, it's an
amazing story. All right. Yep. In January of 1922, radium girl Molly Magia got a toothache. She went to the dentist, who told her the molar needed to come out. A few weeks later, she was back to having the tooth next to that one pulled. Neither wound healed, but grew together and seeped blood and pus into Molly's mouth. Ugh. More teeth had to come out after that. No matter how much
you glow, you ain't sexy if you're doing that. Blood and pus coming out.
By May.
That's a boner killer right there, Timmy. Am I right?
Mm. Well, I mean, that's their concern, is your hard on. Is her main concern at this point, I assure you.
I mean, she's starting to lose teeth, so, you know, she's getting more attractive every day. But, you know, you can't really get that done without a good jawbone. Mm-hmm. Now, can you? You need the jawbone.
By May, her dentist thought Molly needed surgery to remove a fast-growing abscess he'd found in her jaw. When he got the gums open, the bone didn't look right, as it was too ashy and gray, so he gently prodded it with his finger.
Didn't he just put a little lotion on it?
His shock and horror, the whole bone crumbled under his fingertips like ashes in a fireplace. Thank you for letting
sometimes
me
sometimes my elbows sentence. Get ashy. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, I know they just, do. They're disgusting.
And I put a little lotion on it, and it goes, he couldn't put a little lotion on the ashy jawbone?
No, but your elbows are ashy, and so is the top of your fucking head. You need to keep lotion on.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Maybe he needs radium. Maybe he should try radium.
Yeah, he should have tried. I wonder if he took an x-ray of her before. Devil's breaking up again.
In a chair.
Yeah.
He prodded her gently with his fingers.
He wound up? Really? Because this is sad, actually.
Yeah, he said.
When he got the gums, the bone didn't look right, blah, blah, blah. Instead of removing a tumor, he wound up digging Molly's entire left jaw out with nothing but his fingers. Unbeknownst to him, the radium had perforated the bone cells and stripped them of calcium. It had, like a little machine gun, shredded the collagen inside the bone, left it a little more than a pile of splinters.
That's just hideous.
That summer, the rest of Molly's jaw came out, followed by bits of her inner ear. By September of 1922, 8 months after her first toothache, Molly was dead. The tumors had cut into her jugular vein and flooded her throat with blood, choking her to death in bed. Molly wasn't the only girl this happened to. Radium passes easily through the gums and into the blood, so around the time Molly got sick, all sorts of odd symptoms were cropping up among the shop girls. One suffered a total collapse of her vertebrae as the radiation did to her spine what it had done to Molly's jaw. Others developed skin cancer, cataracts, throat cancer, and other symptoms of long-term radiation exposure, such as loose teeth and hair loss. At the time...
I think I would take the loose teeth and hair loss.
The company
as the alternative. Can you imagine your vertebrae just... disintegrates,
collapsing.
What this reminds me of? It reminds me of one of those commercials on TV for medication where they start with, could cause a little bit of hair loss, and possibly loose tooth, maybe skin cancer, throat cancer, your bones turning to mush.
That's the one that gets me.
And if a perineum infection.
It's a perineum, fuckwad.
Perineum, a perennial infection.
Yes.
It comes back every year.
Every year, it's just terrible. What I mean from that, I don't understand, like, that specific little strip of skin right there.
Why does it attack that?
Why doesn't it pick, like, your elbow or, you know, your weenus or whatever the fuck? Whatever.
All these girls at the shop, where, you know, their teeth, their hair was falling out, their teeth were falling out, their jaws were breaking. And they go to the company doctor, because back in those days, companies had their
own
doctor.
Is this in here? It's not in
He would tell them that it's just a coincidence that all these other people are, you know, all these other girls are sick. Just a coincidence. They're all losing their feet or face and jaws and everything. Turns out he wasn't even a medical doctor. He had a doctor in philosophy.
You know, and the thing about this is, Timmy, the girls working next door at the shirtwaist factory, who were going to perish in a fire the following year, they weren't making any money, but they weren't losing the teeth, Timmy. And nobody put two and two together there. All these scientific people and nobody added up that only our girls are losing all the hair and teeth and spines and jaws.
Fucking story.
Coincidence. I think not.
Okay. So anyway, fiber. Yeah, but you know what you didn't get from radium? A taint infection.
Infection seems like it would be uncomfortable.
Dave takes one of those medicines that will get that are supposed to give you that might give you the infection.
Do you check his taint?
Sometimes.
Is he all right?
He's all right right now.
Because we don't want the taint. We don't. You can't mess with the taint.
Listen, we got enough problems. I'm not dealing with an Uzi taint. That's for damn sure. All right. So at the time, the radium was known to be acutely dangerous. No one had
a great name for a rock band, the Uzi Taint.
The Uzi Taint.
I think the Radium Girls is a good name for a punk band.
I think that is a band.
I think it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Molly's death. Aw, Molly's death was attributed to syphilis. It's the company.
I mean, just because she had a little radium, just because she drank radium every day doesn't mean she didn't have.
Well, they probably said, look, you can't see the open sore on of a vajayjay. It's clearly syphilis.
Yeah.
Oh, bless her. Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing, though, with that. It was one of those things where good girls didn't get syphilis. And so now they've besmirched
this
poor girl's fucking reputation to save their ass. That's shitty. But anyway, so it was attributed to syphilis, with the company gleefully cited after the accusations and lawsuits started rolling in. And roll in the accusations did. Way back before USRC had started operations, the firm's president had commissioned safety studies on the glowing muck and had come away satisfied that it was safe. Remember, this was a time
we investigated ourselves and there's no wrongdoing.
Right. Once a woman was too ill to work, not only did they lose their salary, but they also lost their health care.
And the teeth.
Well,
and the hair.
By 1924, when dozens of radium girls were sick, an independent study, one that USRC didn't pay for, established that the radioactive paint is indeed hazardous when ingested. Outraged at the implications and financial ramifications of this study, USRC did something modern readers are familiar with from dealing with tobacco and big oil companies. They paid for another study that found what they wanted to find, and that swallowing radioactive paint is actually good for you.
They should probably thank them.
You know what? Honestly, like no kidding aside, it's shit like this that makes you wonder, what are we told now is okay to do? And we find out in 20 years. Not.
Vaping. I'm sure. Probably everything. Taco Bell. You know Taco Bell can't be good for you.
There's no way that's good for
Christian you. Christian Slater.
Yeah.
I see. So none of this would fly after 1925. Poor Harrison. Poor Christian Slater. Damn it. Lionheart and On the Cube or whatever
Not good for you, Randy. Not good for you.
No, I guess. None of this would fly after 1925 when Harrison Martland studied the issue for himself. Martland would later become the man who coined the term punch drunk to describe damaged boxers' heads suffered in fights. All right, Thad, do you want to read this or do you want me to keep going?
I can take it.
All right.
Oh, first Martland, she said, Thad.
Oh. First Martland reopened of Molly McGee. At that time, cause of death was established by a coroner's jury, which was made up of laymen and acted like the jury in a court case. It goes without saying this is as dysfunctional in pathology as is in criminal justice. So Martland as chief medical officer of Essex County, abolished the jury system and hired competent medical examiners. Way to go, Marland. As expected, Molly's corpse showed no signs of syphilis, but it was clearly been mangled by radiation. Similar results came through for the other girls who had died, and eventually the USRC was driven into ruin by the medical and court costs.
Good.
You know, there had to be a bunch of guys that when they said this, no, she didn't have syphilis, it was like, ooh.
Yeah, but you know what? The damage is already done.
Well, they had to stop digging them up because
they were
radioactive for 1600 years.
Right.
You need to put them in lead caskets.
Radioactive today. Yeah.
Vindication came too late for most of the radium girls. Many died young, usually in horrible pain and fear. Aw. While others lived many years with weakened bones, lost teeth, and various forms of cancer, which may or may not have been caused by their exposure to radium as teenagers. After a typically protracted and ugly court battle, some of the girls were compensated, others weren't, and life went on. Mabel Williams of Olympia, Washington, may now be the last surviving radium girl. In 2015, she was 104 years old and had worked for USRC at age 16.
I bet she's not alive now.
No. I'm sure she's
Well, bad. No. It's 104 in 2015, probably not.
Well, with that much radium, she might be.
Yes, true.
In a corpse. Well, she might be.
She may not
be putting around. Maybe years. With her, it acted like a preservative.
Exactly. Right?
Just kept her going.
She don't
However, have However, Mabel was an exception. Of the 70 or so women who worked in the two major paint dial factories in New Jersey and Illinois, more than half died at a very young age, while others would die of related diseases such as cancer. Their sacrifice wasn't in vain. Dr. Martland's work had attracted attention, and in the 1930s, several research institutes approached him for advice in safely handling even more dicey elements such as uranium and plutonium. In 1942, physicists at the University of Chicago successfully established a brief chain reaction. 3 years later, the Manhattan Project produced several atomic bombs. For decades afterwards, the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission credited the research and experience gained in the USRC shop with helping them devise handling and safety protocols that kept thousands of young war workers safe during World War II. See, there's a bright side.
You see, there's a double entendre there.
Yeah.
I see what you did.
Even today, Dr. Martland's work on the radium girls and the effects of long-term alpha exposure is being cited not too far out. Jesus Christ. Hold on. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I'll try and read that again. Even today, Dr. Martland's work on the radium girls and the effects of long-term alpha exposure is being cited, and it's not too far out to say that tens and thousands of people around the world have benefited from what was learned from the radium girls. The radium girls saga holds an important place in the history of both the field of health physics and the labor rights movement. The right of individual workers to sue for damages from corporations due to labor abuse was established as a result of the Radium Girls case. In the wake of the case, industrial safety standards were demonstrably enhanced for many decades.
All right, Brandy.
It should be noted that the Radium Girls were memorialized, really, forever. They became immortal in the by Monty Python in the Holy Grail movie.
Oh, yeah.
Or Life of Brian, possibly.
I'm sure they appreciated that.
Always look at the bright side of life.
Brandy, what's your final thoughts on the Radium Girls?
Well, I think it's sad, and I think it shows that, you know, there's always been an element of society that thinks that girls are just disposable. You know, they put them in these factories. They have the guys that wear lead aprons. And, you know, the girls are just given, you know, a regular apron and a paintbrush. I mean, it's just, It's sad. Those girls weren't doing anything but trying to support their families, and they got taken advantage of. And it's makes me sad.
Well, now to be, and I don't like to be the devil's advocate on this, but terrific. When you're working in a place where teeth are falling out left and right, there comes a time when you have to say, you know, these are good wages, but I'm going to go down to the shirt waist factory. That's what I'm going to do.
But it doesn't pay as well. And you don't know, Molly could have just had syphilis.
Well, I'm just saying.
So you're saying it's better to die in a fire than.
Right. I'm saying it's better. No, I'm just saying, as a worker and as a human being, no, what these people did was horrible, but y'all are responsible. There's at some point, what in the fuck do you say? Oh, you know, when Elizabeth started working here, she had a full
stupid
head of hair.
You know, it's
and
be
now
stupid.
Nobody on the line's got any goddamn hair, no teeth, and they keep telling us, oh, don't worry about it. But fuck it, I'm gonna worry about it. I'm gonna get my ass out of here.
But they need their health care, they need their insurance.
I don't think your insurance really matters when your jawbone hits the floor.
When your jawbone hits the floor, at least you have insurance to go get it fixed.
Yeah, I don't know if they had any other options to support their family.
It is, I mean, it's a fucking, what's that called? It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, it's a sad story.
There's always OnlyFans.
There is.
It's true.
Stay tuned. I'm going to put my feet on there.
I'm not saying that they didn't know this was dangerous and heap it upon the woman. You know, companies have been doing that for years. What I can understand is when Molly and Betty and Jill, when they start all falling out, at what point do you just keep on saying, letting people tell you, no, don't worry about that.
It's just like watching ignore that. Wait. Later in it. I mean, at what point do you have to say enough is enough?
Well, I mean, and of course, thank you, Charles, Mr. White Man, for sharing that piece of fucking wisdom.
He has a new one, Randy. Come on. He's wearing a
because
I'm just saying I can't be responsible for every goddamn person's safety in the whole fucking world. If you can't think for yourself, then bad shit's going to happen to you. That's all I'm saying. And when you see four or five of the women, I'm not saying they weren't victims. What I'm saying is,
I think that's exactly what
you let
saying.
Yourself become a victim when people say, ignore what you fucking see and listen to me. Believe me when I tell you everything's all right. Just ignore the fucking people with their noses hitting the floor. There's nothing to see over there.
Well, let me say this, though, as a part of that. I think a lot of that kind of goes back to, I mean, these were young girls. You think about yourself at that age. If someone is in a position of authority, you know, you're probably going to believe them. I mean, at least I would think so. And again, they're young, they're impressionable.
They don't know what to do.
Probably poorly educated. Yeah. If not educated at all, you're right. Exactly. So, I mean, I see what you're saying, Chuck, but I mean, I think at the same time, you know, as a child, you want to trust adults that they have your best interest at heart, and these fuckers.
We see what you're saying. It's just stupid.
No, I'm at the same time. And see, you say they use young impressionable girls. I get that. That's why the army gets men, boys, that are 18 and 19 years old, because they'll do any fucking thing they're told.
Well, right. Yep.
And invincible. You have to be responsible for your own goddamn safety.
It's literally why they're called the infantry.
Don't trust the whole point of this is what I'm saying is don't trust the man because he ain't looking out for you. And when your teeth start falling out and Molly's nose is falling off and Betty's fucking tits hit the floor, then you get the fuck out of there and go to the shirt waist factory.
Don't trust the man.
Nobody's
that's the message of this podcast. Don't trust
the man. But here's the other thing. Who's going to hire you when they know that now you've got all this radium sickness and Molly had syphilis?
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, surely everybody there, you know, they're going to, you know, attribute all those things to these horrible diseases. Other than that, nobody's going to hire them.
Yeah. If you get out soon enough,
because you have no insurance.
The time you have symptoms, it's probably too late.
Wait, by the time you have symptoms, yeah. But And I guess, yes.
Well, the dentist symptoms, dug her jaw
just
out.
Jump in there. You know, when you've gone in and you say it, you know, and this is a true story. I was in staffing. I had a company that did nickel plating. Okay. And they wanted to get temps. And I was a little concerned because nickel plating will fuck you up, the kind of things you use. And the guy wanted to take me above the floor on this catwalk, and there was these cauldrons. And I said, no, I'm not going up there. I can see the shit. And the guy said it. I said, what about the nasal thing? I heard it eats up the cavities in your nose. And he said, that doesn't happen. It does. That's just a myth people talk about. Then he says to me, plus, we have everybody checked once a year. And then he says to me, I kid you not, look at me. I've worked here 20 years. Believe me. I looked at him. He looked like a goddamn troll. He probably started out looking like Brad Pitt. He looked like a goddamn troll who lived under a bridge. So this company finally, and I'm not lying, if I could think of the name of the company, I'd look it up. They finally got, now this is in the 90s. This company got shut down by the EPA because they were dumping raw cyanide in Sharonville into the sewer systems. So you're going back to 1917, but look at the shit that happens in 19 whatever. And when you go into a place and they say, well, what about my nose? Oh, don't worry about that. But we're going to get you checked once a year. And you start seeing guys with holes in their noses. Get a different job.
Maybe they have a cocaine problem.
Well, that could be. But yeah, it's always been like that.
It appears that you do. You've been all over the place like a coked up squirrel tonight.
I have.
I don't like you in the nighttime.
Chuck, was it Green Industries?
It was Green Industries, Thad.
Yep.
Green Industries. And I remember the goddamn troll that tried to make me walk the catwalk above the shit. And I said, I'm not fucking walking up there. I don't know how I got to keep telling you.
When I grew up, my parents were still married. I had a friend, his dad worked at Fleur Fernald. And
yes,
Fernald. They were doing,
don't worry about it. Everything's fine.
It's good.
Exactly.
All right, kids, it's about my bedtime.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you all one word, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or a kernel.
Just a wee little bit.
We now just have a TikTok channel, right, Thad?
We do. We TikTok and YouTube, and you can find all of those links and also our new feedback form. You can send us emails or comments about anything. History Dweebs.
This one's going to be good.
Go to historydweebs.org. It's the last link on there. Leave us some comments and some feedback. We'd love to hear from you.
I think that feedback form might be just inviting trouble, Thad.
Well, Brandy said she wanted to get them all, so we're going to forward them to her so she can
She
can take a look at them.
All right.
You need to work on some what the fuck theaters. We need some of those.
I know. And I have, I've watched so many fucked up things lately. I know. I've got, so.
Have you watched Lost Highway?
I've not watched that yet, but here's the thing. And so I'm going to say this because I thought about, I was going to make a kind of a thing, but I'm not going to. So Dave is very, very sick. We found out in July, he has interstitial lung disease. On top of that, of course, he's got osteoporosis because he's an old lady with brittle bones. I guess he's worked with radium. But he's very, very sick. And so I've been kind of dealing with that. So I haven't had a lot of gumption to do many of the what the fuck theaters. Or, you know, much of anything except go to work and come home and take care of everybody. So I do apologize for that. I've not been as active on the page as I should have been. So just give me some time. I'm still adjusting to my new normal. And
don't even worry. It's not even a thing.
I'm just going to kind of take it one day to
Dave, get better.
Right now he's okay. Right now he's okay and we're dealing with it and we go and, you know, we go to doctor's appointments to do all kinds of things, but it weighs on me a lot and I don't want to let him know that, even though he's coming in here to run his fucking mouth.
Did he get a CPAP machine?
Good. I hope you trip and fall and run out of breath. Go in the other room. I don't want to hear
from you.
That's
very nice, though. Did he get a CPAP machine?
He did get a CPAP machine.
Yeah, good. Does he wear it?
No.
God damn it, Dave.
No, he doesn't wear it. So, you know, we're working. It's a process.
And those things.
Tell him to switch over to the nasal pillows. They're very comfortable. It won't bother him. He's probably got the full face mask.
He's got the nasal pillows, I think. And it gets into a whole other slew of shit that I'm not going to get into. But if you've lasted this long in this stupid ass podcast, then I just wanted to let you guys know that. But I'm going to, like I said, I'm working on some stuff. So we're getting there, and I'll be back normally soon enough. But
what you're saying is the ill nature and bad temper that you had for the last 9 years is attributed to something that's happened in the last year. That's what I'm hearing.
I don't know why you're hearing that.
I don't know, but we wish Dave our very best.
Yeah,
of course.
100%.
Well, he's a
Dave
lovely
is a good,
man.
Good guy. Is he still wearing his suspenders?
Of course.
He hasn't given up on this.
Happy New Year message.
Because that would concern me.
Happy New Year message. No,
when Dave doesn't wear suspenders, that would concern me.
He still wears them. He's still kicking. We're like I said, we're getting there. So
we'll give him
hang in there, Dave. We're thinking about you, buddy.
All right, so before we get out of here, we want to take this opportunity to plug our website, historydweebs.org. If you go to historydweebs.org, you can find links to the pages that have our podcast on them, as well as our social media, our YouTube, and our TikTok. On there as well is our feedback form, so if you have a question or a comment for anyone on the show, please feel free to go there and send that in, and we will take a look and get back with you. Also on there, of course, is our Patreon page. If you would like to help support the show, you can go there and for $5 a month, become a paying member. And that, of course, helps us keep this show going. And, of course, we want to say thanks to our sponsor, Black Cat and Me, and for all of your home decor needs. You can find a link to Black Cat and Me on our website, historydweebs.org. We do want to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of our Patreon subscribers, Jeff and Don Chestnut, Sarah Bloom, Ben Dubrovich. Thank you all for being sponsors of the show. Jennifer Svoboda, Erica Kenny, Michelle Johns, thank you for helping to support the History Dweebs podcast. Laura O'Reilly, Shirley Strapp, Anonymous, thank you all for being friends of the show and showing your support. Todd Long, Amber Anderson, Jamie Dent, Mary Ann T. Knight, thank you all for supporting the podcast. Clark and Diane Trowbridge, Anna Kaufman, and Jess, thank you all for helping to support the show. Terry Stafford. Terry, thank you for supporting the History Dweebs podcast. Daniel Townsend, Jennifer Orcutt, the Already Gone podcast. Thank you all for helping to support the show. Buffy Sykes, Emily Tarkov, Gina Green, thank you all for helping to support the podcast. Sue Van Hook, Alan Cox, the Canadian True Crime Podcast, thank you for supporting the show. Liz Lawrence, Cheryl LeBlanc Weldon, thank you for supporting the History Dweebs podcast. The individual who keeps the memory along with Hyro, we thank you for your continued support of the show. Guy Savage, Carl Usplund, Christina Harmeyer, and Shelley, our good friend and co-host on occasion. Thank you all for supporting the History Dweebs podcast. It helps keep this show going. We are very appreciative of each of you. If you would, again, like to become a Patreon of ours, again, it's $5 a month. You can go to our website, historydweebs.org, and click on the link there. And, of course, lots of other goodies on that website as well.
See you all next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Good day.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Because it's not fucking bread.
They both have pretty big boobs.
Yep. I don't care about losing the Kansas City demographic. I don't want the goddamn Kansas City demographic.
I was brought in to attract the Bear contingent.
It's stupid.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.